CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Here we are. It is Tuesday. We are live. It is the 26th of November. Oh, what's up, Pums?
You should give Sia a chance to give us his countdown to the days before Christmas.
All right, Sia, off you go.
Do it again one more time.
Okay, Christmas countdown.
Yeah?
Today being the 26th of November, 2019.
Uh-huh.
My Christmas clock is loading.
Click, 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 click.
Sorry, I need to talk to the reindeers.
Thanks,
right,
guy.
Now.
Click, 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 click.
Okay. And Santa Claus as well, as it loads some more. Oh, there we go.
Right.
28 days, 17 hours, 51 minutes, and 0 seconds.
All right.
Until Christmas.
Basically 27 days.
So I know that there are a lot of people who are having trouble with our app at the moment because we have to do some kind of update on the app. Since, you know, every time Apple or Google or any of them use any kind of new update in their software, then
everyone else has to.
Yeah, we also have to redo our app.
Yeah,
which is ridiculous. So you're sort of trapped in this situation where someone is always going to be taking money from you because you have to upgrade the app in line with their software updates. Yeah. It's just, it's almost like, you know, it's kind of like having a child. And
we've never had one.
Yeah, because you have to put it through school, you have to feed it, you have to clothe it, you have to send it to extramural activities, and then you don't get any return on that investment necessarily. I mean,
do
like you could
have to, though.
Well,
that's why we don't have kids, right, Gareth?
Mm.
Or I.
I don't. I look, for me, it's not something that's like a massive thing on my agenda. But I was with my brother's kids this weekend. I love them, but you see, they're not my responsibility, so I don't have to worry. I can play and be fun, and you know, give them sweets when I'm not meant to, and that kind of thing, and buy them presents and spoil them and all that stuff. But I don't have to worry about what kind of adults they become. My brother and sister-in-law do.
Mm.
It's hard work. Pumi has to worry about her son, what kind of adult he becomes. And it's hard.
No, I don't have to worry about that.
You don't?
No.
Ooh.
That shit ain't got nothing to do with me.
Sure.
I can only do what I can do. What kind of adult the guy becomes is all up to him.
Yeah.
That.
Well, you see, that's a sensible.
I just have to not break him in the meantime, right?
First do no harm.
I just have to not break him. After that, hey, man, you can only blame your parents for so much.
Look, it's just like my sisters and the guidelines and restrictions they all had about gifting for my nieces and my nephew. I was like, please.
You're going to do whatever you want.
I already got them exactly what I wanted to get them.
And what you think they want or what you wanted to get them? Because there is a difference.
Good
that is
point.
The best way to decide on the kind of gift, and like Christmas is my favorite time of year because you're like buying presents. Right?
Away.
The best way to decide is exactly that, right? It's kind of like if I was a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
What is the thing that I would have wanted?
Actually, so yes, that was my guideline. What I would have wanted.
That's a very good place to start from.
Little self-centered, but it's what I would have wanted. Even with my gran, I guess this is like I bought her something and I'm already proud of it because I'm all about monogrammed things.
Oh, wow.
But she's how old?
She is, I think, 83?
83, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I bought her like this whole a gown and
towel
set.
That's beautiful.
Slippers all monogrammed.
That's nice.
That's what I want, even at 24. So.
Sure. But that's a nice, that's very thoughtful, you see. I hate it when people give me a shitty gift that you see they've put no thought into at all. They might as well not have bothered because I know it's just going to go into some drawer somewhere and be re-gifted.
The other day you said you actually find gift cards or vouchers a little insensitive, and I was surprised.
Hold on.
Insensitive?
No, I didn't say insensitive. No, what I said was I find them a bit thoughtless and boring because usually what you look, a gift, you don't get gifts because there's this social thing around gifts that all you really want, it's a token, right? Mm-hmm. It's you saying you mean something in my life at Christmas time or on that person's birthday or whatever, and you buy them something that you think they'll like. But you have to have applied some thought to it. What you guys were just saying now, if you're just buying it because you feel social pressure to give a gift, and you buy them something thoughtless and uninteresting, mm-hmm. and you put a minimum of effort in, or worse, that it becomes for you about how much you have to spend. Like, how much do I give you? Is it 500 rand? Is it 200 rand? Is it 100 rand? Is it 50 rand? It just, you're suddenly making it about the money instead of the gift. Do you understand?
Sir.
I'd rather get some piece of shit you made with your hands, really, that means something, that you've worked on, or a monogrammed something that you've gone to the trouble of having that done. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a face cloth with my initials on, that it's, you've really gone to some trouble for. And maybe you even got your granny to do that. Yeah.
Dude.
Like, that would mean more to me than a 500 rand voucher from Cape Union Mart.
So, y'all know, like, Kanako is a bit of a social butterfly. I have no idea where he gets that from.
Oh.
Sorry.
So he was invited to a bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you get a little girl for her?
Bat mitzvah or a bar mitzvah?
Yabonage.
Okay,
yeah,
so
bat mitzvah for the girl, bar mitzvah for the boy.
Dasi.
Right.
Bat mitzvah.
Got you. Okay.
Shabbat shalom.
I was just like, what? I was totally like, and I'll ask you, like, Google.
I would have to check. I'd have to phone up a couple of Jewish friends.
I had to phone a Jewish friend. I had to phone a Jewish friend.
Right.
And she said to me, oh, whatever like a little girl of that age would like. And I was like, I wonder what a little Jewish girl of that age would like. And I was totally at a loss.
Yeah.
And another friend of mine said, like something like a chain or a bracelet. Right.
Okay, that's sweet, but it's could
quite
be pricey.
Expensive.
Yeah.
Right?
If you're buying like a nomination charm.
And she also had a thing of how close are you with the family? It's like, I don't even know what this girl looks like. I'm just, right?
Yeah, but you see, in that case,
it was hectic.
Yeah, but you shouldn't.
And the social anxiety of just, yeah, but also, right? Because you also, it's a teaching moment, right? For Kanego as well. And it was just, it was quite a thing.
What did you eventually decide on?
A bracelet.
Oh my God. Like a silver bracelet?
How old is this girl that you're buying a bracelet
for? Well, bat mitzvah.
12.
So, yes, 12.
12-year-old girl.
Still young.
How close is she to Kanego?
Well, that's what I asked
him.
To
think about the investment.
And he was like, but that's the thing, right? It's not really like it's about an investment or whatever. So, yeah, so we got a little bracelet.
Yes, it is about the investment.
And what did that
say? What are you investing? There's no return on that.
I'm curious. What do you have to pay for that?
It was about 350 rand.
Okay, well, that's a lot of money, but it's not like breaking the bank money. Yeah. I think that's very reasonable. Plus, I mean, listen, this kid and Kanego might go through school for 12 years together. They might end up
not
being really good friends.
Not even.
Who knows?
They're going to be at school together for another 2, maybe 3 years.
Oh, right.
How many years? Oh,
I would have bought her
primary
some crap
school,
then.
What are we investing in now? Nothing.
And you know, because like it's easy with the wedding and stuff. You kind of go, where's the venue? And you kind of make it. There's a way of calculating these things. First bat mitzvah ever.
I don't buy wedding presents anymore. I know this is controversial.
You just pull in?
I think that a lot of these weddings, especially the destination ones, very expensive, hard to get to. Mm. You got
your
an enormous amount of trouble.
Is the present.
Well, sometimes these people ask me to do something at the wedding too, right?
Okay.
Course.
And so my default is, if I'm doing something at the wedding, I'm certainly not bringing you a gift as well.
Because you're not paying for this.
It's your special day, but you're not that fucking special.
Right.
No, like, come on. Because you know you've got the bachelor's party.
Yes.
You know you've got, and you inevitably end up paying for strippers and drinks and all kinds of shit there.
Yeah.
Of course. Then you end up having, often, after the wedding, there's like a kitchen tea or a nappy party or whatever it is for the first child to be born. I'm like, I'm not that involved in your life. Mm. That everything that happens in your life, I have to mark by parting with cash. That to me does not indicate friendship. That indicates like I'm almost, it's rent seeking from you. Now, I'm being, that's the hardcore me, right?
Yeah.
The hardcore me is like, fuck that.
Futsak.
Then there's the part of me that goes, you know what? It's a token. It's something nice. It could be a little painting or something beautiful. If these are people that are really important to me, yeah, I'll always go to the trouble of buying something nice for their wedding. But usually, if people have a register, I'm totally put off. Then I don't buy them anything. I hate a gift register. I'm not here to supply your kitchen.
Yeah, so yeah. Have you seen that Facebook bride? It was, a big thing.
She, yeah. The
with
one,
the money, yes, and now sure. It's cancelled.
What happened?
What happened with that?
She set up a Facebook group inviting all these people.
This is not the KFC couple.
No, oh. Not the KFC couple. American girl, whatever. Right. And in fact, when I first started seeing it, I thought maybe it's some kind of like spoof or taking the piss out of this. But she put out a thing and then sent everyone that actually, can they just pay for their, like, if you're coming to the wedding, then you have to pay.
Pay for?
For the wedding. So if it's like going to be 200 rand per head,
I have to pay
the venue. And
all right,
yeah.
I'll show you how to sort that out. And then, don't worry about me. Save 200 rand.
Then she was crowdfunding it, right? So she sent all these invitations and was like, oh, if you're coming, please send us money. Da-da-da. People sent money.
Yeah, of course.
She collected something like $45,000 and then sent out a message on Facebook to say, well, we've collected this amount of money, but actually we've decided that we're moving the date.
She's a scammer. If she did not give that money back, she is a scammer.
The comments on the Facebook page.
What did you think?
She knew exactly what she was doing.
And then she sent out a thing saying, this is very stressful, guys, and very triggering right now.
Goodbye.
All these people and your meanness. If you were giving this money, you would, because she's collected the money, right?
Very triggering and very stressful.
Oh, please, give me back my money.
I would not only ask for my money back, I would sabotage that wedding.
Uh-huh.
I'm serious. Like, that's just, she's
how
just,
would you sabotage your wedding?
Oh, we'll figure it out.
I would tell everybody else I knew who was going to not go, and I'd explain my case. I'd do it like a lawyer. I would actually go in like a debater or a lawyer, and I'd plead the case. I'd do it in open court. I'd say, we're going to have a meeting about this wedding at this date. I'm appearing for the guests who are,
but
who
people have sent money.
Sure, I'll appear on your behalf to get your money back if you want it back, or if you're just interested in the story, come along, and then I will plead a case. Huh. Here are the facts. This woman is after your money. She's
stupid
after you paying for her wedding. She is moving the date. She's a scam artist.
Mm.
It's all about her. And she doesn't actually care about any of you. So take your money back. And furthermore, if anyone has decided to go to her postponed wedding, just know that the rest of us are going to probably ostracize you.
There's no set date for the next wedding.
Scam, like Sia says.
She's a scammer. Yeah. Professional scammer.
But also, due to all of the emotional stress that has now been placed on her with all these people that are demanding money back
I'd have a psychologist evaluate
her. She's going
as
part on holiday with some of that money.
Of course she is. Of course she's going on holiday with some of that money. She's a scam artist.
Like this, the wedding was supposed to be now, like kind of just before Christmas, pissed. After Thanksgiving, it was one of those holiday destination.
Oh no! But you know, these bank accounts for celebrations have actually helped my behind many times over.
What do you mean?
When someone, it's just so much easier.
You mean if you just give money?
You know, it's a couple getting married. They say, sure, we'd like this, but actually, we'd also like it if, you know, you helped us out with our honeymoon fund, or we're trying to buy a house. You can donate some money into this account. I'm like, sure, easy. I don't have to think about it too much. I don't have to faff around for an answer. Yeah, it's just easier like that.
Look, I don't want to come across as someone who doesn't love the idea of marriage, because I do. I think marriage is a beautiful idea. I support it wholeheartedly. I think if you find the person of your dreams and you get married to them, that's magic and good for you. And I like romance, and I think it's a lovely thing. I just think that the world that we live in at the moment is so built around attention seeking.
Yeah.
That a lot of this stuff around weddings is more about the Instagram pictures you're going to share afterwards. And it's more about showing how many guests you've invited and showing off how much your venue looks like a palace, or showing off what your dress cost, or showing off how many of your friends are attractive at your hen's party. And, you know, it's just not real. Like, those people are desperately trying to almost curry favor with strangers. And if you're invited to the wedding, you're an accessory to their wedding rather than a friend of theirs who they care about having there to witness their special moment. Mm. And to me, that is just such a denigration of what all of this is meant to mean. If you put the meaning up front and all the other stuff is decoration, then it's sensible. But if you put the decoration and the accessorizing and the attention seeking up front,
then it's contrived.
And the meaning is further down the line, then God bless you. I'm not only quite negative about the outcome of your marriage, but I'm even negative about the outcome of your wedding day. I think it's going to be all over too soon, and within 2-3 days of it ending, you're going to be depressed that you were only princess for that day, and now nobody cares anymore. So, and that's what happens to a lot of these people. And I'm saying it in particular from the point of view of the girl, because girls are raised often by mothers who put this fantasy into their head, or they read books when they're little girls, or they get told by other little girls that this is their dream and they feel they have to have it as well. Mm. And a lot of girls build up this fantasy in their heads of what a wedding is going to be. And then it's over before it began, and they're like, well, that was the highlight of my life. That was the day that I dreamt about since I was a little girl. That was my only chance to be a princess, and it's over. And then everything from there is just downhill. It's like these people who won idols when I was a judge. And you would see that go from the euphoria and the excitement of that 5 minutes on TV where they're announced the winner to disappearing into obscurity 2 weeks later when people have lost interest. Hmm. And to me, if you're attention seeking, that is pathological and it's going to bite you. And if you make other people an accessory, or you make the gift something that it's about you and your need rather than wanting everybody to be happy, wanting something enjoyable, it's so dangerous. And the same goes for birthday and Christmas presents. If you make it about what you need as opposed to what other people might want to get you, it's a bad place to start from. Rather, don't give me anything. I'm because then there's no pressure on anybody, right? Nobody has to. If I don't get a present from Sia, Gugu, or Pumi this year, I'm absolutely okay with that. None of us need to be spending our hard-earned money on some trinket that you know isn't going to matter that much. I'd rather, you know, happy Christmas. Done.
And call it a day.
Yeah. And if you want to buy a muffin from the garage shop one morning, it's almost like that's more thoughtful. Because you're like, yeah, maybe those guys are hungry this morning. Yeah. We've got a show ahead of us, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but it's about to be wedding season in every township I know.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Everywhere.
The matching outfits.
So
and you know this, but also like the family drama of
and
particularly the
and
traditional
you,
weddings, right?
Who you don't invite and who gets to sit in front
and
who gets to make a
the
speech.
Matching outfits. Sia, you know my drama with my cousin's wedding and the matching
outfits.
Yes. Wow.
what happened?
So
wow. We were all supplied with material. Mm-hmm. For the family, that everybody had to wear this particular outfit for the, it was so traumatizing. To then be the same, I almost didn't go. My mother was beside herself because I was just like, I'm not getting a thing made. I've got lots of stuff in my, but this is the. I was like, so I'm not coming to the wedding if this is what we have to wear. So I'm not coming to the wedding. You cannot come to the wedding. My mother was beside herself, and that we have a. Biggish family.
Yeah.
And the bride's family was like 10 people or whatever.
So
we had about
you...
30 people dressed like a mass choir.
Oh man. Did
all
you do
the
it
same
eventually?
Material.
Gareth.
You had to.
It really was. It was the kind of thing that like when my mom was calling me literally every second day.
Oh yeah.
She eventually got an aunt of mine to make a top. I don't know. And you know I only wear black.
Yeah.
I only wear black.
What color was it they wanted you to wear?
It was some kind of, I don't know, some kind of printed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because right? So it's all stylish as well. It was a freaking nightmare.
You see, you're
poor you. You see, you were turned into an accessory. You see that's what I'm talking about. Like suddenly, for their pictures and for their show DVD. To the world, you are turned into part of their decoration. DVD.
And then couples just get carte blanche to have and make all of these demands, and everyone has to go with them. I was looking at a friend of mine who was posting his experience over the weekend. This friend has another friend who's getting married, and her name is Dee Dee. And Dee Dee loves Beyonce.
Oh, wow.
And
oh, wow.
Played on being the fiancé. So she planned a fiancé.
Wow.
As in replace the B in Beyonce with an F. A fiancé getaway. So she took along three of her closest friends who will be planning her wedding with her. So now not only are they in the wedding party, but they now have to pay for a weekend away to start planning the wedding. And like this friend was just like going on and on and on and posting. They all had to get different outfits for each day of the weekend, printed with different Beyonce lyrics on.
Oh, wow.
Like t-shirts printed with Beyonce lyrics. Guys. They had to drive down to Durban. They had to stay at Zimbali. And if you know Zimbali, it's like this gorgeous, exclusive...
cheap
gated community, and I'm thinking this is just to plan the wedding. Then there'll be the bachelorette, then there'll be
I think that's so self-indulgent. And even if you are the richest person in the world and you're paying for all of that, what you're asking people to do is give up huge amounts of their time. Now,
and really, we just want to stay home and watch Netflix.
Most people do, but let's say you're into it, and trust me, I've been to some awesome weddings. This time last year, I was just about to head off for three different destination weddings in the month of November and December.
Ooh.
And they were amazing. All three of them were great. Loved the people who got married. Loved all the other guests. Had a party at each one of the three. It was superb. I wouldn't have had it any other way. Loved it. Loved the celebrations. I loved the families were all happy. It was just a good way to close the year off, you know, spending time with people you care about and being at their special occasion. It was great. So no regrets about those three. All weddings that I've been to, there's a 90% hit rate that it's going to be a great experience. But there are those 1 in 10 that just, you look at this and you're like, I actually don't know why I'm here. Like, why did I say yes to this thing? These people are not that close to me, or I'm definitely the only one of my group of friends who's here, or whatever it might be. And that's when you go, mm-mm.
And what about, I had a lot of familial pressure to be at this particular wedding.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
But I don't feel a need. I don't get any kind of social pressure to be at any one of those things. I'm quite okay with receiving an invitation and going, listen, I haven't seen this person in 10 years. We may have been close once upon a time. I'm not going to this wedding.
Good for you. But that, you know how hard that is for some people.
See, I can't say no.
No. Right now, my siblings and I, really in the family WhatsApp group, it's getting a little tense. Because it started off as a simple idea of just having the four of us for New Year's Eve. Then it's like, oh my gosh, no, how the other cousins look at us. They'll think like we're isolating ourselves. Then we go, okay, let's invite two of our cousins.
You can't invite two cousins.
Oh, no. Then it just becomes a whole web. It's like, no, you can't invite that one without inviting that one. So now, this one is engaged, so you have to invite the girlfriend.
And then one of them who you didn't invite finds out. And then someone in the group adds them suddenly. And because now WhatsApp is like a microcosm of the macrocosm, right?
We're sitting on 16 people right
now.
How
many people?
16.
That's manageable.
To 16.
But that's doable.
But that's not what we wanted. We wanted like the four of us as siblings. So, we were going to Airbnb, a nice place by the beach.
You could have just done it.
So how about you do all of that? Like let all the 16 people and you and your three sisters just go. Don't come to that one.
what we plan. We plan something for everyone else and then we bail out.
Yeah.
Do you want us to be like
hated for the rest of their lives?
Forever and ever.
Why would they hate you? They had the event. They had their thing.
But no, I'm not paying for two parties as well.
No, but are you paying for everything?
Yeah, that is the idea as well.
To pay for 16 people?
Well, we're hosting them. See?
Y'all are idiots.
Jesus. All right. Well, there's an interesting conversation because you know a lot of people are going to be coming up with this.
Everyone is having these issues right now.
All right, so here we go. Hey, Gareth, many thanks for an excellent show. This is from Ian. I once went to a wedding where the couple requested money for the honeymoon as a gift. I put my gift in an empty envelope thinking it was anonymous, and my gift was promptly identified as it was the only one that was not marked as coming from a particular guest.
Oh, no.
So they did process of elimination.
Yeah.
And?
No. Well, I put my gift in an empty envelope thinking it was anonymous. Mm. So it was about how much money Ian
gave. But what did they do? Did they out you, Ian?
They did.
Ian, this
story. That's a little tacky.
Hey, Lavant.
Yeah.
The friends you have.
Women think about getting married most of their life. Men think about getting married 30 minutes before they propose. That's probably about right. I got married after work on a Friday, and it took all of 7 minutes, and I'd do it again. No stress, no dress. I called my mom the next day to tell her I got married.
Wow.
Michelle. Wow, I admire people who can do
Michelle.
That. I admire people who can do that because I don't think a lot of people can.
Just got married on
guys
the
or girls. Yeah.
Like, see ya over here. 16 people coming to the Christmas New Year's Eve. He'd have a flat out panic attack.
That is a lot.
Ruth says, people generally don't pay attention to other people. I love gift cards. In fact, I say to my friends, buy me a gift card so that I can buy what I need or want and don't worry about it. But she also adds, bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, the best gift is money. The money goes into an investment towards education, etc. Yeah, usually... That's the bar mitzvahs. I mean, this is years ago that I went to one or two of them. It's really about like helping that kid build up a savings account for paying for university one day or whatever it might be. So that's quite a clever idea. But again, you're being suborned into into paying for someone else's education. Yeah, Gareth. Cliff Central is your little cute Johnny. What the hell are you talking about? This is from... Mfundo. Okay, I don't get it. It must have been in relation to something we spoke about yesterday. Okay.
I don't know what that means.
All right, well, guys.
Okay. What do we got next?
We've got the five things you need to know.
Okay.
What's in the going Elvis Presley's going on?
Are you a bit slow this morning?
What? Anyway.
Tell us the things we need to know, Gareth.
All right.
All five of them, please.
The Guptas could have been stopped in 2011, according to Mo Sheikh.
But?
Well, the state security agency...
Mo Sheikh, no less.
Yeah. The state security agency, if it had been allowed to investigate the Gupta brothers when their suspicions were raised nearly a decade ago, they could have done something about them. However, according to Mo Sheikh, it was then intelligence minister Siyabonga Gcwele who stifled any probe into the controversial family.
Are we speaking about Mo Sheikh, who is the brother to a young Shabir?
That's correct.
Oh, wow.
But Mo Sheikh was one of the intelligence bosses at that stage. And remember who Siyabonga Gcwele is. He of his wife, Cheryl. Who is the convicted drug smuggler. Sheikh, who was a director general at SSA in charge of the foreign branch of intelligence, told the State Capture Commission on Monday that he and two other senior officials at the agency were summoned to Gcwele's Cape Town office, where he demanded the probe into the Guptas be dropped. It's interesting. All the chickens are coming home to roost. So I hope that there are more people who are going to go and pay the price for having taken this country down the path of state capture. Otherwise, this commission is a pointless exercise. People have to go to jail.
I don't know, Mo. Maybe your curry was just not hot enough.
Really?
Times Live reporting this morning, after 21 years, one of Mzansi's most loved soapies, Isidingo, is reported to be set to be canned due to low ratings. According to Sunday World, a source at the SABC was said to pull the plug on the show, which had been failing to attract advertisers. Attempts by Chisa Live to get comment from Isidingo's producers were unsuccessful at the time of publishing. In an interview with Cape Talk in October, former Isidingo actor and chairperson of the South African Guild of Actors, Jack Devnerain, spoke about the conditions faced by actors in film and television. He said actors worked in a take-it-or-leave-it environment where they were made to feel disposable if they challenged unjust working contracts. So the SABC continued to do well, by the looks of things, by losing one of the few shows they have. And if it isn't attracting advertisers and it isn't attracting viewers, then I suppose it must go.
21 years, though.
It's a long time. Oh, the Trump impeachment continues. So let's go. A federal judge has ruled that the White House staff could be made to testify before Congress, rejecting the Trump administration's claims of immunity. The ruling specifically compels White House counsel Don McGahn to testify in the inquiry into Russian interference in the election of 2016. When Congress sent him a subpoena in May, Mr. McGahn refused to attend. Department of Justice spokesperson told Reuters news agency that they would appeal against the ruling. But let's just remember, this is the first step in a long process now. And Congress has pretty much wrapped up its testimony in terms of this this first stage of impeachment. It then has to go to the Senate, and they can call anybody they want. They can subpoena anyone in the United States, including the whistleblower, who up to now is this mysterious character, who the chairperson of the congressional committee that is looking into this, the House Judiciary Committee, Adam Schiff, has tried to protect for very bizarre reasons. So who knows what might happen next? It's all going to get very exciting. So well, far, the case looking pretty thin, though. And then Uber has lost a license to operate in London.
Dude,
how's
this happening
again? How does that happen?
Well, the regulator, Transport for London, has said the taxi app was not fit and proper as a license holder, despite having made a number of positive changes to the operations. Uber initially lost its license in 2017, was granted two extensions, the most recent of which expires on Monday. The firm will appeal and can continue to operate during that process. London is one of Uber's top 5 markets globally. It has about 45,000 drivers.
Imagine, just London, hey?
Overall, there are 126,000 licensed private hire and black cabs in the capital. Well, I've never had a problem getting anywhere in London, whether it's a black cab or an Uber or the underground or any of these things. So I think there may be a part of this that is them just protecting those black cabs from being outpriced.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, they're a little bit more expensive. And there used to be this thing with cabbies in London that they were meant, before they could operate a cab, to be able to take you anywhere in London just from memory. They would have to know exactly where everything was. They could never use GPS because they didn't have it in those days.
Sure.
And you could ask a cabbie and they would have to be able to get you there in X amount of time, and they would be able to deliver you to the very address that you gave them without ever having to look at a map book or anything else.
Oh, wow.
So they, yeah, it used to be a real skill that people were proud of. You know, being a driver was a prestigious thing, cab driver.
How did people do it locally before the age of like navigation and GPS?
What are you talking about?
Horse and taxis. Carriage.
Yeah, are you asking taxis. About taxis? Are
we meter taxis locally.
Yeah, so that's how they worked.
In London?
No, locally.
Here in South Africa.
That's how Rosie's cabs worked.
Yeah,
Rosie's cabs was the big one here in Joburg.
Yeah. We used to have.
They needed to know every location.
No, I'm talking about London.
Yeah, but I'm asking about locally though.
No, locally they
how they did it. Yeah,
they'd use map books and whatever else. Yeah,
but Google also understand that what you have with the taxi driver, so Roses or any of those guys, is they drive particular areas.
Mm.
So getting to know that area. So after a little bit of time, after a little bit of time, like, you know how to get around in Joburg without like your navigation.
Yeah, but I mean, you go into a specific destination if you're jumping into a cab. You're not just going to Sandton. You come in a Cliff Central or someone's address or something.
Yeah, but you'd be able to know. Look, before GPS, I knew where I was going. I knew which off-ramp to take. You would have to check. And sometimes you'd have to check in a map book because there wasn't an electronic way to do it. And I think the same goes for cab drivers. If you said, I need to be somewhere in Fairlands.
You'd open his little book.
Yeah. These map books were a big deal. People used to have them in the car with them the whole time.
In the cubby holder.
Yeah.
Huh. I had a map book.
Did you?
Oh, loved my map book.
And you'd have to page to this page and page back.
And like 65L and find the little square and check it out. Oh, love my map books.
It's good. It's good stuff.
Oh, my gosh. No.
Yeah, I know, but you don't have to think about these
things. I like my MacBook, not my map book.
I got you. All right, and then the last thing you need to know this morning, apart from Uber not being able to operate in London, well, soon, at the moment they're able to, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg is back in court after a hospital stay.
Oh, RBG.
RBG, she's there. She's, how the hell, I mean, she's practically just dust held together by... I don't know, small amount of moisture in the air. But Liberal Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was present for work on Monday, a day after being released from hospital following her admission on Friday with chills and a fever.
She's a battle axe. Have you heard More Perfect?
I've seen the movie too.
Jeez, she is. She actually is a battle axe.
No, she is.
She's unbelievable.
Ginsburg, 86, will also attend a semi-annual musical event at the court. Spokeswoman Kathy Arberg added, Ginsburg, who is the court's oldest justice, has had various health problems in recent months. 86 years old.
Of course she's had health problems.
Her health is closely watched because another Supreme Court vacancy would give Donald Trump the opportunity to appoint a third justice to the 9-member court. And move it further to the right. The court's 5-4 conservative majority includes two justices named by Trump. So, Ginsburg was appointed, remember, back in 1993 by Bill Clinton. So there we go.
This is not
RBG still alive.
This is not me wishing her ill, but it's just the circle of life, so it will happen. But I think it would be quite fabulous if she died in office. Like literally
she will.
Sitting.
All judges do.
But like sitting in her seat.
Oh, you mean like
working
at a desk.
Why
would you think of that?
No, I think it would be iconic.
You mean
actually.
She'll be sitting on the court bench and just her
and literally
and just
flaps.
Like keel over.
Oh, fabulous! The great RBG just can't die in bed somewhere in pajamas. No, she must
in monogram pajamas.
No, she must be in power.
Well, here is Natasha saying, I used to study the trip for our December holidays with my dad. We loved our map book. I'm still a book nerd. Yeah.
Yeah, girl.
I still love looking at maps. And of course, now it's all changed because you can use Google Earth and all that kind of thing. But it's incredible. I love maps.
But
love
a good atlas.
Oh. Now, there's a gift you could give me anytime. And they're probably cheap as chips now because no one cares about them anymore.
A good atlas, yeah, was just... a thing of beauty, right? You can look at the like the political map and turn the page and look at the geographical map.
Yes. I love that.
The glee in your face right
yes,
now.
Homie, I'm with you.
Like to see where the mountains and the rivers are.
And yes. Most people don't know how to do that anymore.
Google, I'm with you.
I don't know.
I'm with
know
you right now. You're so, you get,
they were bored.
You two are sounding like my cousin, and I went over to his place last week to have dinner. I was so taken by how fascinated he was with this YouTube channel, and he had his screen on while we were all there. He has found this YouTube channel where it's just videos... recorded by drone, and it's just
over
like
mountains and shit.
Over mountains, yeah. So it will be like from Cape Town to Durban via the coastline, and it's just drone footage of the rivers and the mountains
beautiful.
And the greenery.
And he was just obsessed. That's
he
beautiful.
Was just obsessed.
I could watch that.
What
sounds magnificent?
I gained from that, Gareth. I saw a river and a
Google,
little mountain.
Why do people travel, Gugu?
Huh? It's an experience.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's not an authentic experience if you're looking at a screen and it's like, oh, there's the drone,
well,
there's the ocean.
Neither is getting a sext from someone then if you're not around them in person. Do you see what I mean?
Still not the same.
Yeah, I can't hold it up as the same either.
No, it's still not the same.
Okay. Here's that woman. We spoke about her yesterday. The 82-year-old bodybuilder who clobbered intruders. Remember?
Oh, yes.
This
I
old lady.
That.
She's 82 years old. She's
I saw that.
Fit as a fiddle. She smashed her tail.
She looks a little bit scary,
yeah.
Yo.
Yeah, she's 82 years old and she's a bodybuilder.
Like, None of her muscles have atrophied.
No, she's amazing. So she's 82. Listen to this.
He was outside saying, please call an ambulance because I'm sick. I'm sick. I hear a loud noise. And I'm saying to myself, what the heck is that? The young man is in my home. Broke the door. I'm alone and I'm old. But guess what? I'm tough. I took that table and I went to working on him. And guess what? The table broke. And when he's down, I'm jumping on him.
What an awesome moment.
He's laying down already because I had really did a number on that man.
I love her.
Look the other way, though. There you go.
She's awesome. What an awesome woman. I love her.
She did a number on him.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. She has better arms than some 30-year-olds I know.
Hmm. Totally has better arms than me.
Listen, this woman is impressive. I'll tell you something. There's a lot to be said for being in the gym in your 80s.
Yeah.
Good for her.
There's a lot to be said for being in the gym.
Full stop, yeah. Oh, I went yesterday.
Same dude.
I did not feel like it, hey. I really did not. I was pushing through, but I...
It's the worst when you don't feel like it, though, but you got to show up.
But afterwards you feel pretty...
I felt like I'd achieved something.
Hmm. Yeah, but you still felt like shit afterwards.
I get
out on a high, yeah.
You get endorphins.
If I go in
like,
feeling like that...
Well done. It rewards you with like feel-good hormone.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading about, on the note of this old lady, I was reading about the Office for National Statistics in the UK, how just because of how much longer people are living now, they are pushing for a reclassification of what old age is.
Dude.
And they're saying old age should actually be from 70 onwards, because now 60 or 65, you know, people are still going at it still productive.
That thing,
moving
I don't know,
around. And
I didn't know it was like a movement happening. So BBC had a huge thing about it, people writing in. But a week ago, I saw New York Times also had people writing in. Somebody had written an article about old age and whatever. Ooh, the number of letters that New York Times has received of like older people saying, I am not
old,
aged just yet. And the kind of stuff that people are getting up to, it truly is. It's like a testament of how much healthcare and progress we have made. People like my mom is properly still vital, and my mom is old. Old.
Yeah. Well, you see that the age doesn't even matter, because people say, how old is she? Like I asked Sia about the monogrammed robe that he's getting for his gran. I'll tell you something. You get people like this old lady, this 82-year-old woman here.
82.
She is at the gym every day. She's lucid. I mean, when she's talking there, you can hear there's none of that like that you get. So I hate that with old people. When they can't even get their thoughts together and they're unable to articulate.
So what do you do? You just walk away?
I have zero patience with old people. I haven't had old people in my life for... When did my grandfather die? Like 15 years ago?
Yeah.
So I have no patience for it. So I just don't...
So after he left, you were like, fuck it.
Didn't you see there was that old man who came in here the other day?
A tall old man.
I don't remember.
Tall old man.
We haven't had a lot of old people in here.
Yeah, well,
so he came
see
in
one.
And he started talking shit and mumbling like old people sometimes do. I just walked to the printer and got my stuff and ignored
him.
That's
the thing, right? So you have to keep active. You have to keep your mind and your body alive, and not make sounds like old people. Mm. Like, don't do that.
Don't groan and moan. And
I think then...
But
then
it requires a little bit of self-awareness, right? A little bit. And old men are the worst. Old women seem to...
Oh, yeah.
90% of the time, the old woman has got her shit together. The old man's a disaster. He's habitual. He makes those old men noises. He's gross. He says sexist and gross things to young girls. You know what? Old men are just... like really, they're a social problem. And that's because there's never really been... This is what I offer on this subject. I think the reason that men... old men are such a problem. It's because they used to be killed off in war. And they used to be no men got old because they were stressed and they lived these very pressurized lives and they were always out in the hunt or they were working for the money and doing hard work, like really tough work. You know, they didn't make it to their 70s and 80s. They die.
So you're saying they just don't know how to deal with...
They'd leave whatever they had.
They've never seen how you must behave when you get...
Because there's no role model for a man over 80. Because most men were dead by then.
No, my grandfather lived to 88. And my grandfather was... He was a sharp dresser. He never made like funny noises.
Exceptions to the rule, I'm telling you. Like old men... Old ladies know what to do. They have things to amuse themselves. They... get involved with family things. They stay active. Usually, they get together with the other old ladies. You know, men don't know what to do.
So you don't have any grandparents left?
All dead.
All of them? Are you happy with that?
Well, of course I'm not happy.
Well, nobody's happy about that. Happy because they're dead,
but you don't have to deal
with
old people.
That is such a provocative question.
Gugu.
No.
Wait, Gareth, answer the question, please.
Yeah, I'm happy I don't have to
Thank you. That puts you in the corner.
But I'm not happy they're dead.
No, of course you're not happy that they're dead, but you don't have to deal with old people.
But to go back to the point, old ladies, there's a place in society for old ladies. Old men,
there's a place in society.
Not really, you know?
So, Bill Withers has a song about his grandma's hands. Which is a beautiful song because, you know, and his live performance of the song is it tells the story about, you know, the grandmother and the church and whatever. But he also tells a story about how that is also one of his most popular songs. Bill Withers, right? This guy gave you like lovely day.
That
grandma's hands is he has to perform it everywhere he goes. He's lived, I don't know how long, off the royalties from grandma's hands. And he says everywhere he goes, every airport he's in, people who recognize him come up to him. And one of the first things that they say to him is, listen, I dug my grandmother too.
Yeah.
Nobody feels like that about grandfathers.
No, very seldom.
No, I don't.
Yeah. No, shame. Very seldom. I'm telling you.
I love my grandfather. I miss him a lot.
All right. We've got a lot to get to this morning. We've got messages coming in. What's that?
What?
What are you guys talking about? Snickering about?
I'm just checking. So I had a very hectic day yesterday, so I didn't listen into the show. So I'm just checking if y'all spoke about the cat.
Which cat?
What cat?
Wait,
hold on. You got to tell us about the cat.
Because we spoke about Uber and we spoke about the taxis. I think it's important.
Please, do you know about the cat?
If I even call it silly.
You don't know about the cat driving the taxi between Four Ways and Brie.
See, already silly. Nonsense.
What?
Okay.
Maybe let's...
Okay, so you know witchcraft is like always a point of contention in South Africa.
Yeah.
People get riled up about it. It was one tweet that went viral over the weekend.
On Sunday.
Because now more people are attesting to it. I don't know if people are being genuine or if people are just taking the piss out of the situation. But a couple of people are saying there is... Goodbye. I actually can't with the story.
Okay, if you guys are not going to say anything, Gareth, hit
tell the story.
There is a taxi in Four Ways where... it's if you stop and you get into it, you get in a witchcraft, warp?
Oh, boy.
You're fucked in the head.
The driver turns out to be a cat.
And you see a cat driving.
You see a cat driving the taxi. Welcome to Twitter in South Africa.
So what are they calling this cat?
I don't know. It's just the tag.
Whiskers Shabalala.
No, I'm actually dead. I'm actually dead.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's so stupid.
Okay, so people believe there's a cat driving this taxi.
Well, as soon as you get into the taxi,
come on.
See the cat.
What are we? What are we? Three?
Yeah, what are we? Three?
No. It's just. And it was trending.
So people have really seen this thing. Was it just a.
Witchcraft is a thing.
No, it's not.
I'd believe it.
It's no such thing. It's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Superstitious nonsense.
Well, maybe we need to get you into one, Gareth.
One
of these taxis.
Bring it on.
With Shabala.
I'll get in. I guarantee you no taxi I ever get in is going to be driven by a cat. And no taxi I ever get in is going to have a witch in it. There's no such thing as a witch. I hate this stuff. It's so dumb. It pulls people backwards. And you know what? Whiskers shabalala is not a thing. The togolo, sure. But whiskers shabalala, no.
Oh, whiskers.
All right, let's get on with it. Some old school. Pumi knows this song. CliffCentral.com